The first epistle of John, the Apostle, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Let's do one more verse. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You see, there is this, in the apostolic doctrine, there is a certain sort of assumption of righteousness. Even when I looked at some of the writings of the disciples that followed after the apostles, people who knew them firsthand, I see the same thing. Righteousness is not this ethereal, sort of unattainable mystery almost, the way they treat it today. Pardon me, but it was something that they saw as real and that we should be doing. Now look at. Remember from the previous chapter how we talked about the way some people pervert the word, and they would take something like when he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and say, see, if you even think you could stop sinning, you're deceiving yourself. I'm not saying that I would stop sinning, but that God would cause me to stop sinning. And that doesn't mean that there isn't some sort of possibility out there. You know, I mean, I can swear up and down all I like that I'm going to walk uprightly. But just like Peter, you know, he was willing. He said, I'm willing to even die for you, Lord. And Jesus turned to him and said, hey, you know, for the cock crows 3 times, thou shalt deny me. And, there was nothing Peter could do about it. When that push came to shove right there, all of a sudden something was manifested. He didn't want to be that guy. But there he was. So, you know, this, the idea that we, for one, the idea of walking uprightly in this present world is not a cause for haughtiness. If it is, then now you have sin right there. Haughtiness, pride, it's all manner of sin caught up in that. But you notice in the beginning of chapter 2, he says, I'm writing, the things he'd written in chapter 1, and all the things of this, that you do not sin, that you sin not. So the whole purpose in the Apostle John even writing this, what he'd written, about, you know, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Remember, that was in response to this idea that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. And the response to that is sort of, if we say we have no sin, in that context, the implication is that one would be denying the need to be cleansed from sin. You know, but we do have a need to be cleansed from sin. And the whole purpose of that is that we would not sin anymore. As Jesus said to the woman who was caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. He was not laying on her an impossible to fulfill commandment. Though with man, in many cases, this is impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. And look, if you do sin, and I don't, and which is a distinct possibility, but it is no, you know, there's no, it's no way to go about as a Christian to go out and say, I know I'm going to sin, or say, to yield any, you know, that is, it says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no, you know, give no place to the devil. Make no provision for the flesh. To, you know, and that word provision actually, you know, provision as the idea of looking ahead. The word literally means there from that place I'm quoting in the scriptures. You can look it up. It means forethought. And when I say, I know I'm going to sin, I'm making provision for the flesh. I'm saying, oh, well, gee, there's room there. It's going to happen. I mean, so it's only a matter of time, isn't it? Why say that? If I'm going to deny Christ, I want to be as Peter was, denying I'm going to deny Christ. And then if God is going to suffer me to do such a heartbreaking thing, then let him suffer me to do it, but I'm not going to do it willingly. And that's the thing, is like when you yield yourself to sin and saying, well, I'm going to do it, you're like a slave saying, I'm going to obey my master. And you're proving that you are the slave of sin. Because whoever commits sin is the servant of sin, said the Lord Jesus. But if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm quoting from John chapter 8. So, if Jesus Christ has come to make us free, we're going to be free indeed. Not just in some theoretical sense, not in a mere imputation, but imputation and the gift of righteousness, which is not necessarily something that falls on you like an anvil out of the sky one day when you say, God, give me righteousness. But it is something he builds in your life on a foundation. Christ, of course, being the chief cornerstone. But upon faith, he says, add virtue. And on virtue, add knowledge, etc., etc. Quoting from 2 Peter. There are things that need to be added. Righteousness, and things that need to be purged out. Purge ye out therefore the old leaven. Be unleavened. It's the idea of holiness and righteousness is all bound up together in conforming to the image of Christ. If there is any sin in any of his elect, if we sin, we have this advocate. Which means, you know, is Parakletos. An intercessor, or even a counselor.